Let's try to concentrate tonight on the Lord, and I know we don't have any confidence in each other, but let's try to have some confidence in God in each other's life. Can we do that? So leave all your spiritual suspicions at home tonight, and let's not interfere with the work of God for a change and see if the Lord will bless us. Frank's got his job. Now, you know, there was a man that came by the trailer tonight, was having car trouble. Brother Floyd and some of them went down and gave him a hand. That same man is backslid on God, been preaching for years, but he's backslid on God. And the reason he backslid, some of you probably remember me talking to him here a few months ago. And I saw right then he was in a backslidden condition, right then, he didn't realize it. That is in his spirit. And it was soon manifested. And I told some of the brethren he was going to really take a fall. He did. Tonight he came back very humble, very broken. He's hungry for the things of God now. He wasn't hungry then, but he's hungry now. He'd about give his right arm now if he could go back to what he was. But he can't do it. And he told me tonight, he said, there's one thing I've learned, that you can't live for God and stay out of church. Now, some of you got the idea that you can come when you want to and stay out when you want to. He said, this I know now, that you can't do it. And I told him, I said, well, I knew that you was going to fall. I said, the Lord showed it to me. I said, you had a haughty spirit. The Bible said a haughty spirit goeth just before falling. I said, you was overconfident. And I said, these things, of course, not wanting to come to church. And he took a fall, a bad fall. And he said, well, said it was prophesied 5 years ago that I'd do this. A lot of times we don't believe it when folks say things. But he said it came to pass, that it took it 5 years, but said it came to pass that it was prophesied. I told some of you people in here that you're going to fall. And when you fall, you're going to take a hard fall. And some of you are going to be surprised when you do it if you don't listen to what I'm telling you. Some of you women are going to take a hard fall. We got some ladies, a number of them, that's really going to hit the rocks and hit it hard if they don't watch what we're telling them. And I ask you in the name of the Lord, and the men as well, for God's sake, listen at me, because I'm not just up here just to be telling you something. I'm not up here out of the desire of the flesh. Because years ago, I looked for one place, and that was where I could enjoy the flesh. And that's what I did. I can assure you that I'm not here for that, because if it comes to fleshly enjoyment, there'd be a lot of things I could do outside of being here. But I'm here because my heart and my life is dedicated to God, because I love the Lord Jesus Christ better than anything in this world. And I have no other desire but to serve Him. No other desire. It doesn't matter how suspicious of me you are or what you think about me. The Bible said you might deny God, but He remains faithful and cannot deny Himself. And I have no other desire. I am subject to error just like anybody. I'm subject to fall just like anybody. I'm subject to get overconfident just like anybody. And a lot of you would certainly love to see that happen to me. Or some of you, not a lot of you. But the thing is, I'm trusting God and have for many long years. And He'll take care of me. And if you're doing that, He'll take care of you too. But you cannot, Christian friend, you cannot come to the house of God and resent the minister and stay a Christian. You're going to get it somewhere down the road. Just as sure as you got that spirit, you're going to get it. Now, you say, well, I just can't shake it off. It's because you're carnal-minded that you can't do it. If you'll get out of that carnal mind and stop living in your head and start living in your heart and really get on time religion, you'll be all right. But you're living in your head, and you know you're living in your head. Bible said when you think you know something, you don't know something as you ought to know. And I've talked to a man today about living in their head instead of in their heart. And some of you have no more experience with God than your head. That's as far as it's gone. You've never, till this day, got it into your heart. But I'm telling you, you had better. You say, Brother Pike, what's a good starting point? It's to swear to your own hurt. That's where your trouble is, right there. You've never been able to do it. You've always had the lines in your hand and done things the way you want to, and because of that, it caught up with you. And you're in trouble. I mean, you're in trouble right now. And I'm speaking to some that's fasting, and you're still in trouble. And you're fasting because you're still living in your head. Now, you say, Brother Pike, you mean to tell me that I can fast and not be right with God? Absolutely. Absolutely, you can do it. Not be. I mean, fast, long fasts, and not be right with God at all. Now, so then, it's not by works, lest any man should boast. It's by the gift of God. It's by His mercy. All the fasting you've done, that's good, and that's commendable, and I'm glad to see it, because it'll help the spiritual condition of the church. It'll help drive the devil away. But it doesn't have a thing to do with your salvation. Not one thing. You're not one bit better than you was before you started. And whether you fast, the Bible said eat or don't eat, you're none the better. You're saved, justified, sanctified, glorified, and predestinated by faith in the atoning blood of Jesus Christ. Nothing added, nothing taken away. I say, well, what's the need of all this sacrificing so you can believe? That's right. That's all it's for, so you can believe in His mercy. That's all in the world it's for, is so you can believe. Now, all right. I'm going to ask Brother Taylor, if he will, to draw a few diagrams tonight and see if God will anoint us to teach. And I certainly hope He will. I feel a little better spirit. I feel some people beginning to get afraid. The Bible said the beginning of wisdom is the fear of God. Now, I'm not asking you to fear Brother Pike, because I'm just a nobody. But I'm asking you to fear God, reverence God, and realize that God, and for your soul's sake, fear, be exceedingly afraid in the presence of God. And the Bible said fear, fear, lest a promise of entering into His rest be left you. Fear, he said. Fear. Now, I have relatives here, and I realize that I'm without honor with my wife and my relatives, but you better fear just the same. Because even though what I say is without honor, because I'm your relatives, yet it is not without God. And a man that's without honor, it doesn't matter whether he's honored or not, what he says will be just as effective as if you honored him. Because it's the word of the Lord and it's His minister. Now, I want you to observe the diagrams, little diagrams that we draw here, and see if we can. I had a big rule up here somewhere, a yardstick. Oh, there it is. I think it got broke. Yeah, it looks like it's broke. But I might use it. My pencil. Now, first of all, I'd like to ask this question. How many of you really want to grow in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus? I don't profess to know anything, and I'm not a know-all like some of you have put it in your mind that I'm somebody that knows it all and I'm supposed to tell you. No, that's altogether wrong. But I have got the Holy Ghost in my life. And I am called to the ministry. No question about it in my heart. Might be a question in your heart, but none in my heart. I know that I'm called to the ministry. And I know that God has placed something in my heart. I know that He's given me a revelation. I know that. I don't have to ask anybody that I know that. So like Brother Zale, he's an electrician. Nobody don't have to tell him he's an electrician. Or you can tell him all day he was an electrician, but he knows he's an electrician. Now, same way with you that are tile layers and plumbers and whatever it is. I'm a minister. God made me a minister. It wasn't something that I got by myself, or I wasn't looking for it. I was looking for the world when God struck me down and turned me around and put me into the ministry. That's like He did Paul the Apostle, and He gave me a revelation. And I thank God for it. I didn't do nothing to deserve it. I never fasted, I never prayed, I never done no great things to deserve it. I just made myself available because when I saw the greatness of God, I became so exceedingly hungry and thirsty until God just had to fill me. That's all. I just wouldn't get away from his table, Brother Gilbert. I just stayed there every day. I was like Lazarus at the rich man's table. I just stayed there and I wouldn't get away. And it so happened this was a good rich man. And I was the beggar, but he gave me a revelation. And in my heart, there is a gift that works in my life. I don't claim to have any gift, but I've got the giver. And I believe that in every Christian's life, the 9 spiritual gifts is in his life. He might not never use them, but they are there. Paul said, one spirit, many operations of that spirit. And I've got that one spirit tonight. I praise God for it. So, there is a gift that works in my life when people get thirsty and get hungry. I can't make it work, but it does work. And how it works, I don't know. And why it works, I don't know. But there is such a thing as the gift of knowledge and the gift of wisdom in the church. And these things work along those lines. So, it's there for the perfecting of the saints of God. And if the Lord will come down when we start to teach, if he will come down, then it will work. If he doesn't come down, he won't work because I can't make it work. Now, there's others out there that no doubt has the same gifts in their life. As a matter of fact, if you've got the Holy Ghost, you have got it. Whether you've ever learned to use it or not or ever learned how it's to be used, I don't know. You should, for the Bible teaches that you're supposed to be able to use it. You know, a lot of times you speak of a revelation, and I'm just talking to try to get your attention, collect your thoughts here together on the first night. A lot of times you speak of having a gift in your life or a gift working in your life or something in your life. There's always somebody, you know, that thinks you done overstepped your boundaries. Paul said, I'm an apostle. I'm sure somebody thought he was taking a lot on himself to say he was an apostle. Then he got a little bold. He said, I'm a preacher and a teacher, he said. And he just, after a while, he just claimed all of it. And then he even got a little further along than that. He said, well, I got so much revelation that God had to give me a thorn in the flesh to keep me humble. As a matter of fact, he said, I got much revelation. Now, I'm sure some people in that day, you know, they thought he's haughty and high-minded and lifted up and everything else. But he still said it, didn't he? And we can't doubt it because now it's not just Paul's word, but it's the word of the living God. Hallelujah. It became the word of God. God thought so much of it, he made it the word of God. So then, the Lord Jesus is in the church. Somewhere he's got to be in the church, Brother John. Now, if the gifts is in the church, it got to be somewhere. Somewhere or another, they got to be. Somebody's got to have them. And, of course, we all about decided that nobody can have them, you know, and nobody's got them. But I don't believe that. I don't believe that at all. Now, I believe some of you people have gifts in your life, but you don't utilize them. I don't believe you pray and fast enough or seek God enough or stay spiritual-minded enough for God to really use you in them. But I definitely believe they're in your life. I know they're in your life. God has let me know some things, and I know that they're in your life. There's some things you can know. A lot of folks, you say, do you believe you're a Christian? Well, I think I'm a Christian. But the Bible said we know that we pass from death into life. It's not something we think. Thank you, Brother Taylor. But we know it. All right, now then. I'm going to let Brother Taylor draw a world right here. We'll start off by drawing a world. You can. Now then, if you had a broad pencil and paper, which some of you didn't know that we was going to start a teaching tonight, you could have. This is one way to help keep an interest in what we're doing. And if you get an interest, I can assure you that when the mind of God comes, if we stay here 3 hours, which we won't do, not likely, but if we stay here 3 hours, it'll seem like about 15 to 20 minutes. But if you don't get into the anointing, if we stay here 15 minutes, it'll seem like 3 hours to you. So, now, I want to draw a diagram of a world, and I want to put a sun up here, I think we should put the sun over here in the corner. And then we're going to put a moon over along here. That'd be good, along in there. And then we're going to put the world along down here. Now we're going to put a few stars. Just scatter a few stars out, Brother Taylor. Now these things that we put up here, we can't just go into them right off, but we'll get back to them to kind of give a reference to them. Now, we're going to come on along over here, and we're going to draw a physical image right here, a silhouette of a man, Brother Taylor. Now, the only way I know to really teach Revelation is to take my time and talk with you. This is the way I do when men come into the trailer and I talk with them and we get into the anointing and then we get something out of it. Now, if I have to preach and hurry through it, well, you can't get much out of it. The Lord Jesus was teaching. He just sat down in a boat somewhere and started talking. Then the anointing come and the people begin to get the word of the Lord. Now, most of you know that the church world has missed God, the revelation of Christ, and the mind of God because they want to be too emotional. And the Bible tells us when we come to the house of the Lord, be more ready to hear than give the sacrifice of food, to reverence the sanctuary, and to, he tells us to be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God. Now, in the teachings of these things, I'd like to say this. A lot of people don't feel like that revelation is necessary. You talk about revelation to the average church, and they think that you're off on your head here somewhere, or that there's nothing important to them. But the Apostle Paul that was sent to the church, this is the statement that he made. And he made it to you and to I. It's in the Bible, as well as having made it to the people of his day. He said, I pray that God will give you the spirit of revelation. You hear what I said? How many of you hear what I said? He said, may God give you the spirit of revelation. Now, why did he say that? See, if there's nothing to revelation, there's no need to teach it, and we don't need it. If we can just fast and pray and that's enough, or we can just work miracles and that's enough, or we can just shout and preach and that's enough, then why did he say that I pray that God will give you the spirit of revelation? My brother and sister, it's because you're going to have it to be raptured. That's just exactly the way it is. And you might not never believe it, but it's still going to have to be that way. All right, now, we got a silhouette here of a man. Now then, we got a heavenly body here. Then we got a physical body here. Now I'm going to try to illustrate this just as the best that I know how, if I can get into the anointing to do it. And if I can't, well, it'll just be a closed book because He's the only one that can open the book. If he don't open it, well, Brother Taylor, if you will, step on that side over there. Now, let's take this thing. First of all, I want you to notice something. That we've got three bodies represented right here. God is a trinity or three in one. Now, we've got three bodies represented right here. Now, the only thing is that though we've got three bodies represented, we could say an earthly, a physical, and a heavenly representation here, yet in reality, it's only an earthly or a natural representation. You understand what I'm saying? And these are the basic fundamentals that you need to get over before you can understand Revelation. We've got a three-dimensional project here. We say first power, second power, third power, or first dimension, second dimension, and third dimension. We could say a natural, physical, or spiritual. But the truth of it is that that's a natural sun. We got a natural sun over our head. We got a natural moon, and we got a natural earth, and we got natural stars. So see, you're still in the first dimension. You understand what I'm saying? Now, the way we'll teach this that you might be able to understand it, we draw a line here, Brother Taylor will. And what we'll do, we'll put up here on this corner right here, we'll call this the first dimension. All right, be all right? We'll run this the first dimension. Now, the way that we'll distinguish or categorize these things, we'll call it first power, second power, and third power. Is that all right? Now, we'll do it like this. We may have to make some rearrangements when the anointing comes to get it right, but we'll say first power, second power, and third power. That way, you'll understand what's going on. Brother Taylor, he's got the stars out here with the earth, which when you think about that, you think what they're doing out there, but really, he's right, because this is out in orbit just like all the rest of them. So it's really out there with the stars, but when we look at it, we think we're down here somewhere and the stars is up there. I'm going to ask Brother Taylor in this dimension here, if he can, to erase that man and use a man on the cross in this particular dimension. That'll be the second dimension, which is the physical dimension. This is the first dimension, which is a natural dimension. We call it the natural dimension. And that's the second dimension. We call it the physical dimension. The second dimension. We call it the physical dimension, the man on the cross. We'll get around in a little bit to a third dimension. And remember, in each one of these dimensions, we're going to use a 1, 2, 3. A first power, a second power, and a third power. But anyway, what I really needed was I needed this about halfway in a 1, 2, 3 of here. But we're going to leave it like this because this is the way that we got it now. All right, now, we got a first and second dimension. Now, you go to school, you know what I'm saying here, some of you children especially. You got to have two things to make a comparison to come up with a third thing. Isn't that right? I got to put your numbers together, Brother John, to be able to get your answer. Now, they call it in school, they call it the unknown, and they use X for the unknown because it has to do with the cross here. And we have to make a comparison. They use a formula, and they carry this formula through, and then when they come out with the answer. And that's what your third dimension is the answer to the first and second dimension. So really what it is, it's the unveiling. It's the unveiling is what it is. And when you come out in your third dimension, that's your revelation. Whatever you come out with over there, that's your revelation. That's your answer. All right, now, this is just natural things here. Jesus said one time to Nicodemus, if I tell you natural things and you don't understand them, you can be sure if heavenly things start coming forth, you ain't going to get them. So then, let's see if we can understand these things here. You see this cross up here, you read about it, and the person that doesn't have the spirit of revelation, even if he is a preacher, he could never imagine, not in 1,000 years, how much revelation is in this cross. There is enough revelation in this one dimension in the cross that you could write book after book after book after book after book after book and on and on and on about this one dimension. So then, I say that for this reason. When you look up here and you see that little thing there, don't get no ideas that you done got the revelation and you're ready to go. And when we say something about it, don't get the idea you got the revelation and you're ready to go. Because you can't imagine how much you don't know until you start learning. I thought I knew something until I started into the revelation of God and I found out I didn't know nothing. Now, so then you see this dimension here and this dimension here. I want you to try to concentrate on this as much as you can. I know it might not be cold back there, but my feet are kind of cold up here because there ain't no heater in this direction. And that makes it uncomfortable because the devil would love to keep my natural mind on my natural feet so God can't talk to my spiritual mind. But I hope you're comfortable out there. It's going to make it a little harder by it being cold. But if it was summer, it might be too hot. Now you see these three powers here. There's three powers. Man has from this power latched on to this power, but he's never been able to control this power. And I tell you something, he won't never control this power. Never as long as he lives will he ever control this power, because it is a symbol of God. Now we're going to talk a little naturally. Scientists say that everything is dependent on this. Can you put me a ray or two out, Brother Taylor? That everything in the whole world is dependent on the sun. They say that if this sun right here, if this sunshine or this sun ever quits shining, that this earth will freeze over like a ball of ice completely. Now you say, will it do it? As far as I'm concerned, it would absolutely do it. See, this is a symbol of God, the great light. Now, this is just a little revelation. This is a symbol of the God, the great light. The Bible said God is the great light under which no man can approach, whom no man has seen nor can see. Jesus Christ alone dwells in that light. Did you know that God compares a Christian to a sunlight? Now you say the sun is so bright, I can't look at it. But the Bible teaches that this is a type of knowledge. Wisdom maketh your face to shine. And the Bible teaches that one Christian will be so bright and so brilliant that he will outshine the noonday sun. At the very brightest peak of day, that just one of you brethren or sisters sitting out there will outshine the noonday sun. Could you imagine yourself being brighter than the sunshine? But the Bible teaches you will. You say, what's going to make me like that? The mind of Jesus Christ, the revelation. All right, now here is a sunlight, which is a symbol of God. Here is the moon, which is a symbol of the Son of God. So, this has reference to this. This has reference to this. And this has reference to this. Now, here is a symbol of Jesus Christ. And when we are in Revelation, you'll see it very clearly that it is. It's a symbol. The moon is a mediator between the great sunlight and the earth. It's a mediator. God is a God, a triune God, one God manifested in three offices, and everything he does is in a triune manner. So if you ever get revelation, you've got to break things down into a 1, 2, 3. If you don't break it down into a 1, 2, 3, you'll never get your revelation right. That's why I teach it in a 1, 2, 3. Now, a lot of folks say, well, God is three gods. Now, it couldn't be, and of course we know it here, but it couldn't be because man is made in the image of God and is not three of Brother Gerald. There's not three of Brother Terry. There's not three of Brother Gilbert. And yet they're in the image of God. But they are body, soul, and spirit, which is a three in one, and that's what I want Brother Taylor to make out of this right here. In this second dimension, it's a 1, 2, 3, 2. He could have put three crosses, like it is with the thief and so forth, if he wants to, two little crosses. And we'll signify one of them with the soul. If you notice, even here at Calvary, in the second dimension, God uses three. Now this is a symbol of the Son of God right here, the moon. The moon rim. It's also a symbol of the church because the body of the Lord Jesus is the church. So wherever you find a symbol of the Lord Jesus, you find a symbol of the church. So that's a symbol of the church. It can be referred to as the Catholic Church because the only church in the earth is the Catholic Church. There is no other church. You say, well, Brother Pike, there's Baptists, there's Methodists, Presbyterian, there is people who call themselves Pentecostal, all the Catholic Church. Every bit of it is branches of the Catholic Church, and it'll go back to the Catholic Church. Now, today I was pointing out to Brother Bobby the origin of, I don't know, a numbers of churches, and showing them where the root of it was, and then showing him where the root of the real church of today comes from. Maybe we'll get to some of them. But there's one thing we got to realize, that you can't teach this revelation overnight. You can't teach it in a week, and you can't teach it in a month. A lot of people, you know, they feel like, I was talking to Jimmy the other day about education. They feel like that they just can't learn history overnight. They feel like they can't get an education overnight. And that's true. You can't. That's why God took Paul and put him in the Arabian desert, kept him there for several years. And imagine now, for several years, day and night, it took Paul to get the revelation. Now, children go to school 7 and 8 hours a day, or ever what they go to school, and it takes them 12 and 15 years to get the education they need for life. That's a type of the revelation. 3 years of constant searching, God talking day and night, and Paul got the revelation. So you can see why you can't get it in 2 or 3 lessons. That's why I ask you to listen and work with me. Let me take my time and let me go through it, because you're just not going to get it if you don't really buckle down and say, well, if it takes a week, if it takes a month, if it takes 10 years, I intend to be ready to meet God. For what's more important than that anyway? What's more important than that? All right, so then this is a symbol of the church. Now then, we've got the earth right here. We've got a symbol here of God. This is God, the Holy Ghost, right here. God, the Holy Ghost. But things work in reverse. That's what makes revelation complicated. Did you know that your eye has 22 conductive nerves to the brain? But did you know it sees in reverse? Everything it sees, it turns upside down or turns around. So that's the same way this works. I outline it one way, and then you got to turn it upside down or turn it around to be able to get it. You can imagine how scrambled up it is in your mind unless God gives it to you. That's why the world will never get it. All right. So then here is a symbol of the Spirit right here, the great light. Here is a symbol of God the Father right here, the earth. So the Father is here. Now you say, Brother Pike, you mean to tell me that the earth nourishes the sun? He said, I thought the sun nourishes the earth. That's why I say you got to reverse it to be able to get it. You understand what I'm talking about? See, when this sunlight comes down to the earth, it's broken down in rays, and so then this would be accounted for as the Holy Ghost realm, because it comes in rays, which is the tender nourishing of God here, but really coming from up here. You see what I mean? So the Holy Ghost operation is down here, when really here is the Holy Ghost up here in his type and symbol. How did you understand what I'm saying? Now remember, fire goes through 3 stages, and God is called the great consuming fire. That's the sun. They've learned it's a ball of fire. You see what I'm saying right here? All right, now that's a ball of fire, God the consuming fire. Now, fire is broken down in 3 stages. It's broken down from fire to heat to light. Is that right? Well, the 3rd stage of that is the Holy Ghost. Father, the great consuming fire. Son, the heat that received the indignation of God's wrath to keep it off of us. And light, the Holy Ghost, which is the knowledge of God, turn my people from darkness to light, Paul said, or God said to Paul. Now, so you understand what I'm saying? Here is God, the great God of heaven and earth, fulfilling his three offices in the sun, the moon, and the earth. You see what I mean? Now, there's something else that makes it complicated to understand Revelation. This is a natural realm, but I'm running it in three powers so that you'll understand. In either one of these powers, you can break it down into a threesome. You understand what I'm saying? You can break it down into threes. In either one of these powers, you can break it down. Take the first dimension, or though this is the first dimension, but take the first power in the first dimension, and when you get it here, you can break this down into three parts. You follow me? Say 3, 6, 9 in this one dimension right here. You break it down. You understand what I'm saying? All right, now, I can't get into all of that. There's no way I can do that. It takes months and months and months. But if I can give you an idea of a first dimension, second dimension, and third dimension, then you can work with it, a first power, a second power, and a third power, and break this into its threes, and this into its threes, and this into its threes. All right, now, did you understand what I said about the sun? The sun, God the consuming fire, that's the first stage of fire. The second is the moon, which receives the heat or the wrath or indignation of the sun to keep it off of the earth, that it might reflect it to the earth in soft rays, breaking it down through the hemisphere, the stratosphere, the atmosphere, and the ionosphere, breaking down as it comes down through this. And I'd love to be able, as a matter of fact, I was talking to some of the brethren the other night about the spheres and what they meant. I'd love to be able to go into this about the spheres, but we'll just have to wait until we can get another chart, get another drawing. But anyway, it's really something when you get into it. It'll thrill your soul. All right, now then, scientists say that the sun here stands still. They say there is an orbit, and Brother Taylor might draw us a little diagram over here of a little sun right along there. Just give you a little diagram, a little scientific diagram, and draw me a little moon right there, or the earth it is right there. All right, now, then a little moon right close to it. I'll show you what scientists say. I would say this is the sun. Scientists say that the earth is revolving around the sun. Revolving around the sun. Now, the earth is spinning all the time it's going around the sun. It's spinning like a top and going around the sun like this all the time in a circumference. Like that, going around. Now, when it goes all the way around one time like this, that's 365 days it takes it to do that. They call that a year, a calendar year. That's where they get the calendar from. At the same time that this is happening to the sun, here the moon, or rather the earth, while it is circling the sun and spinning all the time, there the moon is right here at the earth, and it's doing the same thing with the earth. It's circling the earth while the earth is doing this and going around the sun. The moon is doing this and going around the earth all the time, moving right along with it. And they say that the moon is where they get their months from, 30 days for it to spin around the earth. So they call that the months. All right, now, I said that to give you some idea of what we're dealing with scientifically. Einstein the great intellectual genius of our day broke into a theory that was called the theory of relativity. That is to say that everything is relative one to another or in relationship. And I believe that. Revelation shows it. And if he hadn't have broke into it, well, we'd have got it anyway, because Revelation revealed it. All right, now, the earth really made a fuss over that, the people did, because that was one of the greatest of discoveries, an all-time discovery. But now, how many of you are getting this right here? Are you getting this much of it? All right? Now, let's leave that alone, because we could go on there for a year or two. Let's go over here to the second dimension. Now, in the second dimension, this is the physical dimension, body, soul, and spirit. A man is body, soul, and spirit. So we're going to use these three crosses here to show body, soul, and spirit. But we're just talking about one individual, remember. Out in the second dimension, we got first power, second power, third power. We're running out the same way from left to right to give you some idea of what we're talking about. We do this to give you a pattern, a thought pattern, or a continuity of thought in your mind that you might understand what we're saying. That when you get into the spirit of revelation, you can always go back to your thought pattern. All right, now then, here's what I want you to do. I want you to take the body, soul, and spirit, and I want you to make a comparison with this the same way. Let this body be compared to this. Let the soul be compared to this. And let the spirit be compared to this. Now, I don't want this to get to be confusing, but now remember, in this, it's just like this. You can break this down, one power, second power, third power, and then you come back to your one, two, threes, and you can break every one of these down into one, two, three. Because this is 3, 6, 9. It breaks down the same way, which I can't go into those, like I said, tonight. But I'm just telling you these things so you get acquainted with them. And this is just so that you'll understand that you... Over here is the third dimension here. We're going to get to that in just a minute. A little highlight on that. But now, how many of you understand what I'm saying here? God said the kingdom of God is within a man's heart. God is a spirit. And the kingdom of God is within a man's heart. This is why we need to know about revelation. The kingdom of God does not come by observation. People who look for the kingdom of God to come by observation will never see the kingdom of God, because there will never be a kingdom of God. Never. It will never come by observation. That just shows how natural-minded a person can be, because it will never come. So then the kingdom of God is within a man's heart. That's why it's so needful to understand the body, soul, and spirit operation. And you could never imagine, with what we're trying to say tonight, with divided minds and with a group, and you could never imagine what is in this in Revelation and what would come out if I had one single individual and had his spirit. You could never dream of what would come out of this right here. But in a collective manner like the congregation is tonight, it's almost an impossibility to expound revelation. That's why the church, in all of these many hundreds of years, have not grown any more than it has. Paul, in his writings, made the statement, said, I will speak unto you as unto revelationists. That is, as spirituals. But I cannot. Jesus said, Nicodemus, I'd like for you to know about spiritual things, but you don't understand natural things pertaining to God. Brother Branham made the statement, he said, how can I teach you algebra when you don't even know your ABCs, spiritually speaking? All right, now, you understand what I'm saying? The kingdom of God is within a man. You got a 1, 2, 3 here in the two thieves that was crucified with Jesus. You got a 1, 2, 3, and these two thieves really carried a great spiritual significance. Now then, over here we're going to put three types of spirits over here. This is the angelic dimension. The angelic dimension, which we call the spirit dimension. All right, first of all, we're going to put God's angel, which is his spirit. The angel of Christ, which was incarnated in flesh. All right. Then the next one, we're going to use man's angel. Remember now, over here, we're in a physical dimension because we're using man over here. When we really come down to this right here, what we do, we use the different types of beast life in the earth. Because that's a physical dimension. And you're dealing with beast life. Now we got God's angel, and we got man's angel, and then we got Satan's angel. Now, these also have a comparison with body, soul, and spirit. Where the trouble is, this belongs into the dark pit. This belongs in the regions of light, and this right here is in between. But the trouble is, this has gotten up here and pushed this down here. And that's where the trouble is in religion. Alright? Now, this right here goes back to this over here. Are you following me? Now, we say back to this right here to keep a continuity of thought, when really it goes, this goes to this right here. You see it? Spirit. This, this, and this are the same. Now we're just using a cross here with a thief to symbolize it, because really what it is, it's a spirit inside of this body. Spirit, soul, and body. So it goes back to the spirit inside of this body. And we're just using it out here where we can illustrate it. You understand what I'm saying about that? So this, this, and this are to be compared in Revelation, in your three dimensions. This, this, which is the soul, is, and this is to be compared in Revelation. And this, and this is to be compared in Revelation. Now on the tape, it's going to be a little hard for them to understand what I mean about this, this, and this. But what I mean by that, in the third dimension, where it speaks of God's angel, going to the second dimension, where it speaks of man's angel, going to the third dimension, and we're going backwards here because really it's the third dimension that we're taking this from. I better redo this. It's a third dimension, God's angel, backing up here. The third dimension, God's angel. That's a third power of the third dimension. All right. Then the third power of the second dimension, man's angel. And then the third power of the first dimension, which is the angelic type in the natural dimension, which is the sunlight. That's the world spirit. That's the spirit of the world. All right, now, then in the third dimension again, backing up again, man's, the second power, man's angel, in the second dimension, the soul, which is the second power in the second dimension, and the moon, which is the second power of the first dimension, are one and the same. All right, now, the first power in the third dimension, backing up again, compared with the first power, which is the human body, in the second dimension, and compare it to the earth, the first power, in the third, the first dimension. Now, that clarifies it a little bit. But now you see these three right here. One, two, three. You understand what I'm saying? All right, now, when you compare these together, then you've got a continuity of thought and of mind. You've got a basic foundation or a basic fundamental of the way that God operates. One night on the board here, and I think some of them might have drawn it on some charts. On the board, we took I don't know how many different things and illustrated it in a 1, 2, 3. I mean, there was a lot of things that we illustrated in a 1, 2, 3 to show you the continuity of God's operation. Now, how many of you are understanding what we're saying here? You understand it? All right, I'm going to stop right here. I'm going to close the service. Now, I'm just getting started. But I want this to soak in right here. So I'm going to close the service right here. And on the next lesson, we'll see if we can get into a little bit this a little bit deeper. But I want you to think on these, and may the Lord bless you. And here we'll close out for tonight. You can concentrate for a few more minutes if you want to on the drawings of the blackboard and see what you come up with.